This is special coverage about the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm News Director Sarah Bohannon. Today we'll check in with Butte County Public Health Officer Dr. Andy Miller about his take on whether his county is ready to loosen restrictions soon. We'll also check in with him about current testing capacity in the county. And we'll hear from the State Superintendent of Public Instruction about whether or not schools will really be reopening as soon as July. If you have questions for us, let us know on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. For Monday, May 4th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. As this pandemic continues to unfold and more people get restless to get back to normal life, we've been checking in with local officials pushing to reopen the region to get commerce going again. Now we're checking in with public health officials around the North State to hear their thoughts on lifting restrictions in the region soon, and to get a better idea about the timeline and details for this to happen. Last week, NSPR's Andre Bayek spoke with Butte County Public Health Officer Dr. Andy Miller about possible plans taking shape to start loosening restrictions in his county, what loosening those restrictions could mean in terms of seeing a resurgence of the virus, and where the county is currently with testing capacity.
I'd like to start with a bit of welcome news on the testing front. Can you share the latest on the testing equipment public health has received and its operational status?
Through the generosity of the North Valley Community Foundation, our lab was able to purchase equipment that would allow us to test for COVID-19. It took a long time to both get the equipment and to get the needed supplies because of the intense demand throughout the state and country and world. But as of this week, we are able to run anywhere from 20 to 40 tests a day, depending on what demand we have. So that's the, and I'll just say at the same time, we are working with another technology that we already had in the lab and are hoping that that technology receives FDA approval. And when and if that happens, and that may be weeks before it does, that would expand our testing capacity significantly beyond that.
And what does that expanded capacity mean for Butte County and what Butte County can learn about the virus?
Well, one of the prerequisite steps that you hear from our state health officer and from our governor and from really people around the world that are involved in disease outbreak containment is that one of the most important things is to be able to do rapid response testing so that you can identify cases, that you can then investigate those, or isolate and investigate those people. And for us to have a virus like this that we have little or no immunity to, and still to try to have some semblance of normalcy in our society, to not be closed down, but only partially closed down, those kind of tools are what allow you to do that.
Speaking about possibly the roadmap to reopening, public health recently announced that it started planning efforts to develop such a roadmap. Can you share what that effort will entail and what you'll look at going forward?
Yeah, the overall plan is to have a group of kind of medical experts, and that group has already met twice, and that's with the CEOs of the three hospitals in the county, with our public health epidemiologist, the public health director, and myself, to adopt measures that we will be watching in the hospitals and in our communities that would make us say, we think we can open or, you know, move in the direction toward opening. And also watching those measures to see if there are times where we become more concerned and need to either slow or stop that opening. And I guess in the worst case scenario, even reinstate some of the restrictions. So I think everybody's hope is to not have to do that. But the last thing that our community wants us to do is to be kind of blindly going forward. So that is the first effort. And that effort is pretty much nearing completion or fairly complete. Then the other work really is to then look at the risks of different industries in our communities, different sectors, and say which should open in what timing and with what mitigation or redesign to allow them to still operate, but to minimize the risk both to their clients and their employees. And that's the part that's being driven primarily by our county EOC, but we are definitely, public health is definitely involved in that. And we've been involved in looking at plans from other areas and from academic and other documents that have tried to outline these pathways.
You mentioned time. Is there any time frame that you can share regarding when restrictions could possibly be eased in Butte County or when these measures could be put in place?
Yeah, so I think that it's pretty difficult to comment on time, as you've heard our governor say. I think that there are two things that are true. One is that we're under a state order. The governor's and the state health officer orders that has been communicated very strongly to us. We do not have the ability to be less restrictive. We can be more restrictive, which we have not been. Many other counties have been. We have not been because we didn't need to be, or we would have been. Dealing with that is an important prerequisite, and I was on a call with the state public health officer last night, and as were many others throughout the state, and communicating what we thought timing was reasonable timing, and realize that's different throughout the state. So they have the difficulty of dealing with things like Los Angeles County and larger urban areas that are still, you know, just seeing a high number of cases and a high number of deaths. So there's a lot of talk in that about whether the state will allow regionalization, and that conversation continues, and it will continue and intensify on a daily basis. So that's one prerequisite. The other thing is to think about the governor has shown six, what he thinks of, prerequisites in order to lessen up. And so I think most of those are things that we want to be able to answer when we open up. I think that having good medical capacity, which I believe we have, having good personal protective equipment, which we probably do not have, are things that we should at least be planning for as we open up. So I think those are things that will dictate that. I think our numbers are low and stable in Butte County and in most of the surrounding areas. And I think that's a pretty good argument for moving the timeline for these areas into the very near future. It's not my place to say more than that, but realize that when things loosen up at the state level, people can travel and they will travel, and we will see more risk coming into our community. We just have to be prepared to monitor and deal with that risk.
Related to that, Butte County has remained steady at 16 confirmed cases of COVID-19 for quite some time now. What does that number tell you about how the virus is behaving in Butte County? And maybe even whether there will be sort of that surge that we were preparing for, but perhaps hasn't really taken place yet.
Right. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I guess you could say we had a surge. It was just a very small surge, which is a great thing to be able to say. It's great not to have gotten in the position of other areas of our state and of our country. I think we benefited from not having a significant burden of disease before the state stay-at-home order went into place, whereas in other parts of our state, there was already a significant amount of disease, say in Sacramento and in the Bay Area and in LA. I think it means that what we call non-pharmaceutical interventions, like the stay-at-home order and washing hands and masking and face coverings, that those things work, and it's pretty impressive how well they work. But obviously, those can't be the way we deal with this virus going forward into the future to the same degree. So I think it says that we have, I'll just dodge the first bullet, whether we will get a second wave, we will get more cases. There's no doubt that when things open up, and of course, 16 confirmed cases, that's those that were confirmed. We all know how difficult it was to get testing and that there were likely many more cases. But the fact that we had minimal hospitalizations, which is the most important indicator, is how many people you have in the hospital with suspected or actual COVID. Those numbers were fairly low here. So it seems like we dodged that first bullet, and now we need to be preparing for an array of smaller bullets that come in so we can try to deal with them.
We are seeing businesses and workers eager to get back to work. It's even led some non-essential businesses to reopen against the governor's order here in Butte County. At this point, can you share the guidance from public health regarding non-essential businesses that are reopening or thinking about reopening?
Yeah, I understand that there's a lot of hope and desire to open, and I understand why. I mean, I understand those economic pressures and the difficult times that people are having. I don't think that non-essential businesses should be opening, and they should not be opening until we have been given the leeway to allow that to happen. I hope that happens very soon, because I think that there are ways for both essential businesses and non-essential businesses to reduce the risk of their operations and to start reopening. I think that that's a reasonable pathway forward that we will get to as soon as we possibly can. And that conversation will be had with those industry people. I have something here that has a list what those industries are. You know, education, parks and rec, ag, building and construction. You know, there's a number of them: manufacturing, lodging, and tourism. We will be meeting with those groups and saying, giving our suggestions about how they might be safer, but primarily listening to them, who know their industries best and know what we are trying to achieve. Say, if we get to open, here's how we can try to mitigate the risk. And we're looking forward to those conversations and their innovation in this space and helping us all move forward safely.
It seems as we do move forward, certain protocols may be put in place, mitigation measures such as wearing gloves or masks or keeping social distancing guidelines in place. I'd like to go back to sort of the basics here and ask, what is the purpose of wearing a cloth mask or even a surgical mask? How does that help protect either the person wearing it or other people?
The primary reason to wear masks is to protect other people. And so there is better data. There's not great data in the face covering space, mostly because we haven't had situations like this to study it, and every virus is different. But we have a growing body of data from around the world that suggests that wearing a mask protects those that you come into contact with measurably. So you wear a mask in part to protect yourself, because we think there is some protection imparted to you, but mostly to protect those that you will come into contact with. And I'll add a third category. I think that these measures, social distancing, keeping your 6 feet, wearing face coverings, protects you, those around you, and in our situation, it protects businesses, because the better we are at those kind of mitigation efforts, the more likely it is that we will be able to continue leaving businesses open and expand the businesses that can open. So the more successful we are in keeping the virus from spreading, the more successful we will be at opening up.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about the current stage of the county's response to this virus that you'd like to add or perhaps clarify?
Sure. You know, we don't talk about it very much because it's behind the scenes, but there's been a lot of work done in addition to the testing that we've talked about in trying to be able to expand our contact investigation capacity. So So the governor talks about 10,000 new contact investigators in the state. And as of tomorrow, they're supposed to roll out some online training for that and even a technology platform to assist in that space. But, you know, we and likely other public health departments have been working on that for a few months, both developing our own internal training, expanding the public health workforce that was displaced from their normal jobs because of this into that space, and then also expanding into other partners like law enforcement, other probation, other people that do investigations. And in the future, we will, you know, be looking for other groups, because in time, probation and law enforcement might get back to being as busy as they were before. They may or may not have those people to lend us, but that's important work, as I described earlier, because it is testing and contact tracing and investigation, isolation and quarantine that are the major tools that we have to try to have some semblance of normalcy while we move forward with this new and deadly virus.
That was Dr. Andy Miller, public health officer for Butte County, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. While most counties like Butte are just in the planning stages to get ready for a green light from the state to start phasing in reopening, there's one county in far eastern Northern California that is not waiting and has already started a staged reopening last Friday. KQED's Lily Jamali has more.
Modoc County Supervisor Ned Coe says his county currently has no reported cases of COVID-19. He argues many residents feel they don't face the same risks as people in urban areas.
We are the third smallest population of a county in California. So we have practiced social distancing even before it was in the vernacular of today.
Businesses do have to follow state guidelines and rules developed by the county's public health officer. For instance, restaurants can operate at only 50% capacity. That story brings up a lot of feelings, hope, a tinge of worry, wistfulness. Good luck, Modoc County. We're eager to follow in your footsteps.
KQED's Lily Jamali reporting. You're listening to special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. When we're back, we'll look into Governor Gavin Newsom's recent announcement about schools possibly opening as early as July. Stay tuned. This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Last week, California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that schools in California could start reopening as soon as July to help make up for learning losses during this pandemic. For many teachers, parents, and students, the thought of cutting summer break short to get back to the classroom was not welcome news. To learn more about the governor's announcement, we'll now turn to a recent conversation with CAP Radio's host of Insight, Beth Ruyak, and the state superintendent of public instruction, Tony Thurmond. It was recorded last Thursday.
With a few days to absorb this news, what's the reaction been across the state to this idea?
Well, as you can imagine, the reaction has been mixed. I think a lot of people are anxious because opening school in July, as early as late July or early August, sounds pretty fast to a lot of people in a time when there are a lot of unknowns. But, you know, one thing I know about this governor is that he always sort of pushes the edges. And as he has talked about, if there is a way to safely reopen our schools, that would give us another way to address the kind of equity issues, the learning loss that many of our students are facing. I think he's really speaking to what's on everyone's mind. When can we begin to reopen the state and our schools? I think the difference between what the governor has said and what some of your previous guests have said is that we can think about reopening now, but we have to do it with safety in mind and meet the conditions that the governor laid out for making sure there's lots of personal protective equipment and ways to keep kids safe in school and staff in school. And I think even though the governor supports some changes around what we can open, he always says, and I agree, people should be wearing masks. They should be maintaining social distancing, washing their hands. And so, yeah, I don't think this is a time for people to sort of say, hey, we're in the clear. But we do need to think about what the future of reopening of our school looks like and to do that safely.
The shutdown period was staggered from district to district, different parts of the state. If an early school year happens or is allowed, do you envision that maybe it goes the same way with districts doing what they can and it's a staggered reopening?
I think it's highly likely. What I've learned through this experience is to expect anything. But one thing I've noticed is that when school districts start doing things, especially the larger districts, other districts tend to follow because parents will say, hey, how come LA Unified or San Diego or this or San Francisco or, you know, Sac City, how come these districts are doing these, making these steps and we're not? And so, but one thing I really want folks to understand is that at the end of the day, the governor is not mandating a sort of one size fits all. He's not mandating that there would be a common start to all schools. In California, school districts exercise local decision-making, and that is how they decide when they start and when they end. And they're going to have to work through their calendar needs. But I think the governor is giving us an aspirational push to say, let's start thinking about the opening, and that, opening earlier accomplishes, as I mentioned, addressing equity issues for our students. It also addresses the needs of many of our parents who, financially need to get back to work. And so that's what I believe our governor is doing. I've launched a task force of all educational stakeholders to kind of go through the many lists of questions that need to be answered as to how it could happen safely. But ultimately, I think our school districts are going to make their own decisions about when they actually open.
Was this a surprise to you? Was the governor's idea and him just speaking it out publicly the way he did this week a surprise?
You know, the governor, if you watch his press conferences, and he gives one daily, his press conference, he's been hinting at the reopening of the state and the school. I believe it was last week that he first indicated his conditions, factors that would be important to be able to safely reopen. He talked a lot about the need for
He had not said late July or early August. He'd talked a little bit more about maybe splitting a morning session and afternoon session and different configuration to the school plan. But the early start to July might be speaking to the idea of summer perhaps having a lower virus rate.
I don't know if that's why he said it, but yes, you're correct. And when he made the statement this week, it's the first time I think anyone had heard publicly that school could open as early as late July or early August.
Do you think schools, teachers, students, and families can toggle back and forth the way we're all, again, taking the governor's cue, getting prepared for, that we might be moving along in one direction and then things get ahead of us and we've got to pull back and shut down more? Will that work for a school setting?
I think that really every Californian should be still thinking about what we're doing right now in our schools, and that's distance learning, remote learning. You know, the teacher and the students are in different places. I think the likelihood is that that's how we're going to finish out this school year, and that's what we should continue to focus on. And I want to commend our students, teachers, and parents. They've been doing incredible work in distance learning. My department, the Department of Education, has been doing 3 webinars a week to support teachers on how to deliver the distance learning. And so I think really what we have now are 2 different options to consider. We've been pushing previously to think hard about using some of summer for some programming to address learning loss, some enrichment programs, right? Some kids have missed a lot of days. And distance learning, sometimes it's bumpy to get started. And so that's still an option and still likely for many districts to do some summer programming. The governor has entered another option, and that is that if school districts can safely reopen, that is another way to very quickly address learning loss, because now teachers can start to assess where students are in terms of the new grade levels that they'd be entering, and do they need additional support to get up to speed on grade level. So I don't think parents are going to have to toggle back and forth. I think we really just have to keep doing what we're doing right now, which is distance learning. But right now we have to be planning for what we do in the summer. We have to be planning for what we do when school reopens, whenever that ultimately ends up being.
Well, again, I thank you so much for joining us and continuing to add some clarity to all ideas being on the table at this point. Stay safe. I appreciate the work and cooperation of everybody in your office.
Thank you. And I hope that your listeners will continue to listen to you, and they'll check out the website for the California Department of Education. We provide updates around the clock and daily about what's happening with California schools.
We'll post a link to it, because your webinar information, your other resources are good there, and I appreciate the reminder. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Stay well.
That was Tony Thurmond, State Superintendent of Public Instruction in California, speaking with CAP Radio's host of Insight, Beth Ruyak, last Thursday. You can get more information from the California Department of Education on their website, cde.ca.gov. How parents, teachers, and students are doing with virtual education, and now the possibility of going back to school early, is a story we're currently working on at North State Public Radio, and we would love to hear from you. If you're a parent, are you able to act as a surrogate co-teacher for your child, and what has the experience been like? Or do you not have the resources and are struggling to help your student with their studies during this time? Teachers, what strategies and resources are working to keep you connected to your students? And do you have enough support? Students, do you feel like you're still learning? Are you sailing through online education, or are you finding it frustrating? How has this experience been for you? To maybe help others along the way, we want to know what's working and what's not. If you'd like to be involved with this story, or if you just want to share a few tips and resources, please reach out to us at nsprnews@csuchico.edu. Again, that's nsprnews@csuchico.edu. And that is your program. If you have any thoughts for us, leave them on our message line, 433-9216, or go to our website, mynspr.org. Today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, News Director at North State Public Radio, and this is Special Coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30, or catch the rebroadcast the following morning at 8:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay hopeful.